Okay.
Welcome to the Water Podcast. Water is a tool for testing web applications. You can find more about Water in episode 1. This is episode 3. Today is July the 1st, 2008. My name is Željko Filipin. With me today is Marek J. Marek J, would you tell us something about you?
Oh, hello. Hi, welcome. So my name is Marek J. I am originally from Poland. I live in US, in Dallas, Texas. And
would you tell us your real name?
Oh, it's actually Jastrzębski. So it's very long. It's got 11 letters and only, I think, three vowels in it. So everybody kind of knows me by just J. It's much easier for them. Well, and it's just become my nickname, and I've had this for many years, so everybody just refers to me as Marek J. It's
great. What do you do in life?
Well, I currently work for a healthcare company here in Dallas, Texas. And you mean professionally, right?
Yeah.
So I work for a healthcare company here, which is, one of the largest healthcare companies here. And I work full time doing water scripts, and I do testing, automation testing. I do test modeling. I do requirements testability reviews. I jot UML diagrams. I talk with developers. Just basically on different teams all at once. And I am currently, with my testing, supporting, it's like a conglomeration of applications that all work together for the company. And I think there are 8 of them. So just, it's one of the enterprise level applications. And yes, I am using water for all the automation testing.
Sounds interesting.
Oh, yeah.
Do you listen to podcasts?
Yeah, I have been listening to podcasts, just in general ever since they came out. Ever since Dave Weiner was, doing some things with his little radio application. And then I guess Adam, I forgot his last name, but he was the one that came up with some more podcasting tools. So it's been a few years.
Great. We have an experienced listener here.
Oh, yeah. Yes, I have lots of podcasts.
How did you get into computers?
Curiosity.
As a kid?
A long time ago, and I was used to be a ham radio kind of a guy when I was when I was about 18, 19, and I first saw the Commodore 64, and then
I remember those,
and then the games of Boulder Dash, and the fact that you could tell it to go left and right and top, and that was kind of fun. And then I didn't really much think about it, but I was always interested in math. And linguistics, which is kind of weird, but when I came to US in 1989, I didn't really do much with computers, but then I sort of slowly discovered them and started playing. And back in the days of Windows 3.1 and a little bit of DOS, I just kind of started that way.
How did you get into software testing?
This was 1992 or 1993, so a while back, about 15 years ago. And I was really lucky to meet some people here in Dallas. There was a company called Autotester, which was one of the first software automation testing tools. And I went and visited the company that I met. I met the founder, actually, and some people that work there. It's actually Linda Hayes, who started the company. And I just visited, and I actually said, you know, I'd like to work for you. So she said, well, if you'd like to work maybe part-time. So I took that job as part-time, but I ended up just being here about 50 hours a week anyway, because it was really fascinating. And the tool was Autotester 2, and I was actually testing the auto-testing tool.
Oh.
That was kind of strange, because it introduced me to this kind of reflection and the idea that you could actually test the testing tool. But yeah, that was a really great tool. I really liked it, and it was mainly for Windows applications.
Sounds.
So that introduced me to a lot of testing methodology and the fact that you can automate and not have to spend a lot of time manually going through an application.
Sounds so meta, testing the testing tool.
Yes, it is. So I kind of like to do that. You know, all kinds of abstractions interest me.
So that's how you get into automation. And how did you get into Water and Ruby?
I was just, you know, again, listening to a lot of podcasts, hanging out on IRC channels. About 2005 or 6, somebody mentioned to me, I was looking for a wiki on a project, and somebody mentioned to me in Sticky. And they said, oh, this is a nice little wiki tool. You can use it on your, you know, there are like 2 steps to do it. You know, just step, install, start, and that's it. There is no step 3. And then they said it was written in Ruby. It's an interesting language, and you may take a look at this. And the truth is, I don't remember how I got into Water. Somewhere around there in 2006, just, I don't know, like I came across this library. I tried it. It was nice. And at that time, I worked in Seattle for Boeing, one of the divisions. And we needed to automate some front-end data loading. And I just started using the tool. And you know, started implementing it there, and I started teaching some people how to use it. So this was, late 2006. But truly, I do not remember who introduced me to the tool and how I found it. But I'm always looking for stuff on the web everywhere. If you look at my delicious account links, there's probably thousands of links to all kinds of libraries and tools. Yeah, that was it. And then I left the company and I came back here to Dallas. And I just started using the library, the Water library, immediately, just for automation of the front end here. So that's kind of my story.
Okay. Why do you like testing, and what do you like about it?
Oh, that's a good question. What do I like about testing? It's kind of like an intellectual journey. It makes you wonder, you know, what was the intention of the person? You know, what kind of a domain am I in? What kind of business domain am I dealing with? You know, what's the value creation here? What's, you know, and how is that being expressed in software? I think this is what really interests me, is patterns and algorithms, ways of achieving things, repeatability of certain processes. I guess that, you know, a little bit of a mathematical mind. And so, you know, I always looked for ways of looking at software as a you know, a representation or realization of a particular value creation that was intended by either business analysts or business users, who said, you know, okay, this is what we have. This is the kind of business we have. Here's what we need to build, is software that will support that. And so then I like to just critically look at software and see if indeed it is creating that kind of value that was intended. And you know, many times it is about uncovering what kind of value was intended, and what kind of, you know, is the software really doing what it's supposed to be doing, or was it just built because someone along the way did not translate the intended outcome or the intended value, and that's why we have either bugs, defects, or, you know, missed shots in software. I think that's why it interests me. It's a really great way of looking at kind of business processes too.
Interesting. Jarib from Water Icy Channel asks, would you tell something more about the application you're testing?
Yeah, this is, you know, not to reveal too much, but because of the, you know, business and stuff. But so one application, for example, we have a business process that takes a user from one step of, you know, just creating a bunch of data. And we go through about 160 round trips to the server. So we have a path through the system that accomplishes a goal, or you could say that that's a system use case. And, you know, that's like 160 different pages. So each page you have to set some values and then submit them, and then you get another page and you submit them. And so just automating that, automating data creation, that would even not be called testing. That's more like, okay, we need to just pump data through the system so that when it arrives at a particular point, we can do some exploratory testing and checking, you know, what happened along the way and catching where it may have failed. So that's, you know, a lot of my water scripts are for that kind of data creation. And along the way, I'm supplementing it with actual tests. So expected results, making sure that I arrive at a particular state. And it's a healthcare application. So it's about, you know, enrolling small groups, business groups into, you know, health, private healthcare here in America. And that includes, you know, a lot of data creation and gathering and typing in, like, you know, all the people's names and who they are and if they had any kind of medical conditions before or not. So the application is, you know, very, there are a lot of business rules that are driven off data. So there may be certain zip codes that we serve or not serve others. And if you're in a particular age, then we can sell you this or not. There's a lot of sort of what I call a behavioral data, you know, where you have classes of inputs like, you know, like equivalence type of partitioning that you do in testing. So from in this range, we do this type of behavior. In this range, we do this type of behavior. And a lot of kind of cause and effect type of testing.
Interesting. you said already you started using water.
This is where we need to have a rim shot. Woohoo!
You said you started using water in about before 2 years ago, right?
Yeah, a little bit, but then, you know, on and off. And then in 2000 and, was it six? Yeah, 2006. Hold on, my mind is now blank. We are now in 2008. So, yeah, 2006. In the fall of 2006, I started building a couple of test suites in there, and then I have been using like every day since probably March of 2007. So it's been over a year of you know, using water every day.
Okay, well, we have more questions from Water IC channel, and this one is from Brett and Alan Baird. Brad Petticord. What have you been using Water for, like regression, smoke, or unit tests?
Well, mainly doing it for smoke tests. I have a suite which we call a build verification test, or BVT for short, which basically covers major paths through the system, making sure all the integration points between applications are still working. It runs, it's about 2 hours, if I were to just, and it really is prepared to run after every build. So build happens, and we run the tests, just to make sure. And so that covers, on two machines, that's about 2 hours on two machines. So I would say 4 hours of stuff. So, it is a large application.
Lots of
applications all at once working together, because what happens, a certain sub-application will hand over data over to the other, or another application pulls the data generated by one application in order for it to be processed later on by this application, and some other applications use this data also for their stuff. So there's a lot of sort of data integrity checks and making sure that all the applications are working together. So we run the BVT tests, and then so I build a little framework for that, and then we run sort of functional unit tests, which are like unit tests, but they are on the browser. So if I'm on a particular page, and there are many, many rules on that page, or if you enter this data and not this data, you should get an error. So I find these type of tests that are non-destructive, so to speak. So they are repeatable with a set of data that I have, and then I can run searches on the system, or just entering data and then making sure I get the correct errors, everything is working. So this is more like functional unit tests. And then there are destructive tests where, I have some data, and once I process it and I do something with it, that's it. I have to go create new data set. So I also run those. I try to classify type of tests that we run that can be rerun again on the same data set. Or you have to, there are some preconditions to set up the data. And so we run these kind of destructive tests. So this is what I would call, like functional integration unit tests. I'm not sure if that there is a word for that. But it's really deals usually with one page, or one or maybe two pages. The system type use cases, or you have something called happy path to the system, or you have some other paths. So system use cases. What else? I think that's it. Those are the main sort of integration tests and system tests and functional unit.
A lot of tests.
And for functional unit tests, I usually hook up either test unit or test case from water, the water implementation of test case, which gives me sequential execution, and the verifications that basically collect but don't fail on test methods. And that's a really useful thing for me. And sometimes I use spec or RSpec, but it's a little bit too much work for me to use RSpec, so I just try to whatever works, whatever has the job done at the time. So
Brett,
rim shot.
Brett asks, what do you like about water?
Oh, it's natural in the way that you would think about interacting with a view. So My test framework that we've built here is sort of like a model view controller type of test frameworks, and where the view is handled by water. I built some view, classes and modules that encapsulate calls to water. And, it's just natural to say something like, this div with this ID, do something with it. The main thing is it's object-oriented. And so I like to think in object-oriented notation, basically object.message with some kind of, parameter. So that's what I like about that. And then I like that... I like the chaining in Ruby. So what I mean by that is that you can actually specify IE dot, table with this ID dot row with this ID dot, whatever, div dot span dot this dot this dot this. You can actually build a path to the particular control explicitly using... because all the commands in water map onto document object model easily. So if you think in these types of nodes, and then nodes contain other nodes, which contain other nodes, it really helps to write water scripts easily. So that's what I kind of like about that, the main thing. It's a very natural document object model mapping API.
Great. We have another question from Alan Baird from IRC channel, but I think you've already answered. He said he asks what frameworks have you been using with water, like test unit, RSpec, Rasta for data driven.
I haven't used Rasta yet, but just a water test case, which is the test unit. Not as much, actually. The regular spec, which is sort of like a linguistic implementation of test unit. It's not as complicated as RSpec. I first used RSpec about last summer, so about a year ago. And speaking of that, I actually met Brett over at Lone Star Ruby Conference last year. So this was September 2007. And David, I think, Chemlinski, the RSpec, one of the RSpec maintainers, creators, generators guy was there. So I was able to ask him some questions about that from the perspective of functional testing. So he was talking more about the UI type stuff and then story, but it's just what I have so far, there's it's just so much to do that I haven't really gotten that much into RSpec yet, but mainly test unit. And then I built my own sort of scenario driven test framework. So I just, something simple as I have some methods that do something, and then I just have a little array, what I call a scenario, where I list all the methods to execute, and then I run that, and I can actually say, okay, well, start with this method and end here, or start here and end here. That helps me prepare some data so I can do some exploratory testing, manual exploratory testing, and that always yields more kind of defects and bugs than automated testing. So I try to use automated testing mainly for speeding up testing, and then supplement that with exploratory testing. So that's it, and spec, the regular spec framework. I forgot who built that.
I'll have to take a look at regular spec. Haven't heard about it yet.
Yeah, it's a it's supposed to be just linguistic front end, which is sort of like RSpec, but it works with regular test unit.
Sounds interesting. Yeah. Also, Brett from Water Acid Channel, what don't you like about water?
Maybe it's not what I, it's not about what I don't like about it. It's the fact that all these pop-ups, the JavaScript pop-ups, I really hate those. And it's really not water, it's the IE, you know. And if the fact that all these JavaScript pop-ups basically occur outside of document object model. They're just Windows, you know, implementation. So when we have these problems like, you know, alert bot, you know, alert dialogues and all these other model dialogues,
you just have to deal with that. Really a lot of them.
Yeah, and so I hate that, and I hate like one of this is the thing I was dealing with yesterday is one of my several places in my application a PDF comes up in a browser. And now I have to like save it, and I, you know, the browser is the shell or host for a PDF client for Acrobat. So now I have to figure out, okay, how do I do this? So auto-edit inclusion in water is actually excellent idea. Thank you, Brett. That's like perfect. Because without it, I just don't know what I would do.
You could always.
So the workarounds is I can just send some keystrokes into a focused window, so that helps me.
You could always use auto-edit by itself, right?
Yeah, I try to use auto-edit. Well, from water scripts, but yeah. And what don't I like? You know, it's the fact that it only works on IE. So I'm a great believer in the fact that we can unify the fire, water, and water. So the same library can be used for testing Firefox. That's something that, you know, I think is very needed. I'm kind of lucky right now that my company basically, you know, all the applications are sort of certified for IE. So IE is our main browser.
Good news is that Brett is working hard on uniting water and firewater. And he said after it, he'll take a look at all those pop-ups that happen from time to time. So it could be done in a short time, especially now when Brett is full-time on water.
Yeah. Well, and it's also part of being tester. I'm trying to advocate to, you know, developers, like, please do not use pop-ups. There are so many other ways of handling that. You know, you can reveal a lot of messages with AJAX calls or just, you know, that way. I mean, all the Web2O applications are now using the AJAX for error handling. I use this application called, Remember the Milk, which I just love the whole front end. And so I hope that we'll use less and less JavaScript pop-ups.
I think I know the answer to this question. What would you like to see in the future versions of Water? I guess uniting versions of Firewater and Water and dealing with pop-ups, right? Something else?
Something else. I don't know. I would like to... what I'm working on here, you know, privately, I built a little file. I call it Water Reflector. It's a mouthful. And basically what it is it's just a script that I run against a active IE that takes, you know, that basically records for me all the inputs. So instead of using IE developer toolbar to spy on, you know, what is this control, what does it do, I just run a script that processes the page and pulls out all the inputs, all the selects, all the checkboxes, radio buttons, and makes a little kind of module for the page. So, you know, that speeds up my writing of tests. So it's not a recording tool because it doesn't, you know, it doesn't record like, okay, now you clicked on this checkbox. But it's more like a modeling tool. It goes to a page and it just pulls all the elements from the document object model and prepares a template for the page for me so that I can just use the elements directly and call them in my script.
Good idea.
Anyway, I'll try to post it on the list somewhere.
Have you used other flavors of water, like Firewater, Safari Water, or
I don't have time.
Do you have time to play
it's
with it?
It's really like, no, don't have time. It's so much work to do. No. I counted recently because somebody asked me. I think we have over 15,000 lines of water code in all the tests, which kind of surprises me that you could write that much. But and I really, it's hard for me to tell whether it's too little enough. I really, because before a few years back, I worked actually full time doing tests for. Do you know Rational Robot?
Heard
you
about
know,
it.
Remember Rational Robot? Yeah. Well, a few years back, I guess 2002. From 2001 to 2004, I worked full time writing Rational Robot scripts. And I think I've had about 5,000 or 6,000 lines of code in that. That tested a lot of stuff too. But in water, I have about 15,000 lines of Ruby code. And about half of it, or maybe a third of it, is actually handling Vue with water. So the whole test framework is actually, you know, using models for my data modeling and controllers, which are just test cases, test scripts, and then Vue, you know, the controllers basically handle data and pass them on to Vue, and then all the Vue modules, all the Vue classes talk directly to IE using water code.
Have you used other open source testing tools like Selenium?
I tried it a little bit. That was when it was using some HTML tables, and I just was a little frustrated with that. But not much, not really. No, just since I discovered water, it just really, there was, again, no time to use other tools. I know, I'm just discovering Ruby and just writing so much stuff in Ruby. There's so much that can be accomplished that I really haven't needed to look for anything else right now. So I'm really full-time busy with water coding.
Brett asks, have you built any tools of your own? You said already you've created that helper to help you produce tests faster, right?
Yeah, but tools on my own, not really, just bunch of scripts and anything that I can automate that will make, you know, project faster. Any kind of automation helps. So, not really. No other tools.
We have two more questions. And this is from Brett. How do you help out with water?
Oh, goodness. Well, I don't know. I just, you know, sometimes on the mailing list, just reading through and from time to time answering some questions that are maybe, you know, useful.
Any
just
code?
Making comments, you know, making comments on the mailing list. I think I've joined a mailing list about a year ago, and just, you know, I have some questions sometimes. I post them where if I have something interesting, maybe I'll post it, or just, you know, answering either some simple questions or maybe some complicated, or just participate in that way. Beyond that, really, you know, not much.
Being the support guy, I think answering questions and mailing list is really important.
Oh,
and yes. Thank you for that.
Okay, well, you know, it's really hard for me to gauge that. I think the fact that I keep pushing water at the company, I think that's a really good help. And you know, I've made a couple of presentations to management, and you know, explaining what it is and what it does and how it can create value for the company, and how it can help development, how it can speed up development time. So I'm doing, you know, a little bit of grassroots work here for the library, and you know, I think that's, and it keeps me employed, so I like it.
Me too.
Yeah. The payoffs are immediate. I have implemented some automated health checks of the system that use water and some other Ruby code that run every morning at 5 a.m. just to make sure, you know, all the systems rebooted are up, reachable, you know, the IP ranges are running, just as an auditing tool. So that's automated. That runs about 40 minutes every morning. It's just a bunch of files, just a bunch of water code that uses some user IDs, logs into the systems, making sure everything is up and running. So those are kind of the smoke tests that I do, so that when people come to work in the morning at 7 or 8 o'clock, we know if something's been down or not restarted, not rebooted correctly. So, you know, water is sort of running behind the scenes, and I don't have to worry about it because it runs by itself every morning at 5 a.m. And I usually get a phone call at 7:30, like, well, what happened? It failed or something happened.
Great.
Yeah.
One more question for the end. Where can people find you? Do you have a website?
Yeah, I do. I try to write some on my weblog at marekj.com. And I've started another website, but have not done anything there, which is called testr.us, which was supposed to be kind of a fun kind of place hangout for testers. But usually, yeah, marekj.com. Yeah.
Thank you, Marek, for talking with me.
All right.
We'll end the show now. Thanks for listening to the Water Podcast. Our website is waterpodcast.com. My site is zeljkofilipin.com. Bye.
All right. Thank you. Bye.
Music at the beginning and the end is Asleep at the Wheel from Waking Rotko. Find more at stereofame.com/thewakingrotko. And we have a sponsor. Nice people from Watercraft are paying for the hosting, so I don't have to. Find more at www.watercraft.com. All links are in episode show notes. December 2003, waiting at a nerd, maybe. chest one more time.
Woohoo!